Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.
And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. And happy Wednesday, one and all. I hope your day is starting out very well, or even for the East Coast, it's getting close to being the end of a workday, so that's even better yet. It's beautiful in Chicago. I don't know the temperature. I forgot to look, but I do believe we're like upper 50s, and that's not negative 50s. So it's all good, you know. Anything above zero, anything above that negative number, we're happy, you know. We're jumping for joy over here. So, yeah, let's hope that all of you are experiencing the same thing and enjoying the day. So today, I welcome back Matt James. He's UK singer-songwriter. Yeah, if I can talk now. Last time he called in, England's Wi-Fi was not being very nice to him. So let's hope and keep our fingers crossed that everything works out this time. And welcome, Matt. I see you there. Can you hear me?
Hello, yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, my gosh. It's almost as clear as a bell.
Excellent. Better start than last time, eh?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, last time you were in and out and calls dropping. And, yeah, no, that was not fun for you, I'm sure. I mean, I've experienced it, you know, a few times because overseas you just never know how those calls are going to react, you know.
Of course. I mean, just, like, it's always at last minute, though, isn't it? I mean, we were in the studio playing away, and we've had Wi-Fi all day, and then we had a power cut, and I had to run to, obviously, use the cloud, the magic cloud that nobody knows how it functions, and it failed me. So, you know, here we are again.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. The only thing bad about it is you're going to get the same questions from me because, unfortunately, the listeners didn't get to hear the answers the last time with it being so spotty. So we're going to just, there are a few of them because I didn't get to ask you all the questions. So
no
we'll
worries.
Take it from there.
Yeah, and I'm still unprepared, so don't worry.
Yeah. So tell me, what age did you start out in music?
Well, I started out in music at a very young age. Singing, anyway, not, you know, writing music, writing songs. I progressed onto that quite late on in life, actually. I'd say about 16, 17, I started writing my first songs. But singing, it's something I've always done. You know, singing away in your bedroom when you're a kid, it's, I don't really have a musical a family or a musical background. It's just something I've always really enjoyed. And as I've got older and older, it's sort of, it's a burning passion. It's something that I've felt that I could hopefully one day make a living out of. So that's what I'm concentrating my time on at the minute.
Yeah, you know, every person in this world, I don't know of one single person that could tell you that they never sang in their life, because we all do. It doesn't make us singers, that's for
oh,
sure.
No, that's right.
You know? But you guys just have that extra passion in you. I think most of you are born with it, and some of you just discover it later in life. Some it starts early. I mean, there's, you know, little kids walking around singing these days and making YouTube videos. So I think that's awesome that they can do that, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, one of my biggest regrets is that most of my friends, you know, people that I used to hang around with when I was a kid, you hear about bands that, you know, the majority of bands now that are famous, you know, they were playing in the garage as kids, you know, 8, 9, 10, whatever age. But
right.
None of my friends are ever really that musical, so I started late, really.
Yeah, I guess if you compare it to that, then yes, you did.
Yeah, of course.
So, who were your inspirations? Who did you love to listen to when you were younger? Who did you sing to?
Oh, when I was younger, I was, you know, do you want me to be cool or do you want me to be uncool?
I want you to tell the truth, sir.
All right, okay, well, I mean, we grew up in, you know, as a kid in the 90s, you know, all the pop bands, you know, you can always belt out a classic to a couple of the to the boy bands. But you know, if I were to pick all, you know, majority of my record collections, you know, Fleetwood Mac or the Beatles, you know, the regulars, Rolling Stones. I like all the classics really, but you know, I'm into singer songwriter music at the minute, and some Damien Rice and Ben Howard. You can't go wrong with people like that nowadays.
That's so true. A lot of the music out there sounds the same these days, so, you know, that's my big thing with indie bands. I love their different sounds, their different songs. It's
of
not
course.
The same thing over and over, so, yeah, I absolutely love it.
I mean, the
now,
majority of people,
who would you say?
Sorry, yeah, the majority of people, it's like music hasn't really moved on, has it? We're all still listening to the legends, you know, and that's my biggest complaint, that there's nothing new coming through that you can really see yourself listening to sort of 20 years down the line.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. You know, I never really thought of that, but that's true because I can always go back to listen to a lot of the songs from like the 70s and 80s are really huge for me, like classic rock. And
yeah,
that never gets old. No matter how old I get, that never gets old.
No, of course.
Now, I was quite surprised to see that you joined the Army at a young age of 16. We really don't do that here. I think the youngest age that you can join anything is 17, and that's only if your parents sign you in. So I'm taking it that works differently for you guys over there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not 16 turn. I think it's like 16 and 9 months, and it may have changed recently, but I chose to go to the technical college, you know, that's run by the Army. And so you could join a lot younger because obviously you still couldn't serve active duty until you were 18 years old. But if you went to the college, you could join the Army, learn all the military skills, but still sort of take further education at the same time.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. If you don't want to go to regular school, like a lot of kids at the age of 16 don't want to do, they're like, oh, I'm 16, I can quit school now, you know, and
yeah,
the parents are like, oh, no, you're not.
Yeah, I mean, Mike couldn't wait to get rid of me, I think.
Oh, no. I'm sure that was not the case.
No,
my
always used to joke, you know, what you're getting for your 16th birthday is a suitcase and a book of maps. That was what he always used to say to me.
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny. You know, I think we all say that at some point, you know, when the kids are acting up, but we don't really mean that, so.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you spent some time in Iraq, and I have to ask you, you have mentioned in your bio about getting blown up. You have to explain that.
All right, yeah. I went to Iraq in 2004, and I had a trade. I was an electronics technician, what we call the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. So it's not really a frontline troop position, but I was attached to an infantry regiment out in Iraq in Basra. And there was always begging for men to fill in spots because, you know, either people were sick or they were on leave or whatever. And so we used to fill in. And my very first, my maiden patrol, we knew it was coming. You know, it's always your first patrol, and it's always the new guy that gets it. So we were patrolling in warrior vehicles, and I don't know, about an hour into it, we got IED'd. But luckily, no one was hurt.
Wow. That has to be so scary, though. I mean, that's something that has to stick in your head.
It's not something you think about at the time. You do think about it afterwards and how close you could have come to something bad happening. But it's cliche to say that sort of, you know, you're with your friends and you don't really feel in any danger, you know, to be perfectly honest.
Right. Yeah, and then that just proves that you don't have to be in the front lines for something to happen. Eventually somebody ends up, you know, anywhere. If you're in a war, you're in a war. It's going to happen anywhere, no matter what position you hold.
No,
so
of course.
That's pretty scary.
People supplying troops in the background, you know, you could be sat in base and get mortared or accidents happen in combat theaters. It's a terrible place, really.
Right, exactly. My son was in the Marines, and he was on a ship for, what was it, 9 months or something like that. And he kept telling me, Mom, I'm going to be fine. I'll be safe. I'm going to be on a ship. We're not going anywhere that's going to be dangerous. But you, as a mother, you cannot stop thinking about that, you know.
Until
they're back on U.S. grounds, safe and sound, out of the, you know, danger, then you stop worrying.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's pretty hard.
Me and my brother were in the army, so my mum's had it twice over as well. But she's, she hates watching the news and things like that.
Yes, yeah, that was my hardest thing too. I could not watch the news programs while he was gone. There was no way I was going to watch that. Yeah, it was too scary that way. So, but
it's sad for the family.
Thankfully, you're both back.
Yeah, we're safe and sound.
Yeah. Yes. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here with me today.
No, that's right. I've taken a completely different direction, haven't I?
Right.
Music's dangerous.
Yeah, that's true. So what lessons did you take away from being in military that you use in everyday life and in your music?
To be self-reliant, you know, to be dependent on yourself. I mean, obviously, I left school and I joined the army at a young age, and I've come across lads now that are sort of 25, 30 years old that still haven't cut the mother's apron strings, you know, and need their clothes washing for them and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, we learned that from a very young age, and everything I do now, I'm sort of headstrong and independent, and I don't really need anyone to rely on. I can just get down and get things done.
Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad you learned that, because I must have did something wrong, or the military did something wrong, because my son's living with me again.
Great. Well, I mean, he's got his head screwed on. So.
At least this way I can kind of keep an eye on him, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, too right.
Well, when you write your songs, what do you write about? How do you get inspired?
There's a number of ways. I mean, most of my songs are, a lot of them tend to be fictional. I like to sort of tell stories when I write songs, so I turn them into mini stories, basically. But other songs, obviously, are from past experiences, you know, things I've been through. But I tend to get inspired in the middle of the night. There's no set way of, I don't think you can go and sit down in an office and write a song. I mean, people do. People make a good living out of it, but I find that difficult. It comes to me in strange times. You know, I could be sat on the train or, well, anywhere. And as long as I've got my mobile phone with me, I'm okay because I can record it. But it strikes me at funny times, mainly in the middle of the night. And so sometimes I've got to have a drink as well to sort of get inspired.
Do you ever wake up from a dream and write something that you dreamed about?
Yeah, I've had that a couple of times, and it's more frustrating when you can't remember. You know, I dream quite a lot. I must dream every night, but most of my dreams I can't remember, and I've had some rocking songs in my dreams, and to this day I can't remember them.
Oh, no.
But some I managed to get down in good time.
Yeah. Well, I myself have recurring dreams every now and again, so maybe you'll dream about it again and it'll come back to you. So, but in the meantime, I mean, you're doing an awesome job as it is. You have a lot of great songs out there. I know
Thank
Sweet
you.
Satellite and Summer were heard on the BBC Introducing. Was that the first time that your music aired on radio?
Yeah, obviously BBC is massive, and they've got this introducing platform where you can send off your songs and they go to the local broadcasters, and if they're good enough to be put on national radio, then they'll put them on there, and luckily a couple of mine have been played.
Wow, that had to be surreal to be hearing that.
It is funny to hear your songs on the radio for the very first time, you know, and it's happened a couple of times since, and I've never caught one live yet. I always miss it.
Oh, no.
No, seriously. I have friends and family say, on the radio, but I'm like, oh, you know, I'm at work or whatever. And I always miss it.
Well, you shouldn't miss mine when I play them, because I warn Melanie ahead of time, and she puts it out there, and she sends the links to all of the bands and singers that she has, that she represents. So there's no excuse for missing it when I play it. So
no, that's right.
I'm holding your feet to the fire on that one.
Yep, that is my fault.
Now, are you the type of musician that hears one of your songs on the radio and you're happy with it, or do you think in your mind, maybe I should have done this or that to it?
It's funny you ask that. I mean, I'm never ever happy with any of the songs, and I don't know what that means. Have I not written the best I can write? Or as musicians, we sort of, the latest song that you write is your best song. You know, so as you move on, you listen to the old ones, you think, oh, I'd change that now. And I'm never happy with it. I don't know. Maybe I'm a perfectionist, but I've had no bad feedback as of yet, so I must be doing something right.
Yes, you definitely are. Don't worry about that. You definitely are. And I find that everybody that I've spoken with, that I've interviewed on the radio, they're all perfectionists. They do the exact same thing that you do. But as a fan listening to the songs, we love them. We don't sit there and think, oh, that was the wrong chord, or maybe he should have did this or that, because we don't know. We just know what we hear. And with not being able to, you know, if we're not playing a guitar or something, we're not going to know if it was the wrong chord or it should have been a different chord. So
yeah.
Once you record that and you put it out on radio, don't pick it apart. Just leave it as it is. We're happy with it.
No, of course.
Because
I mean,
you'll
I'm
only make yourself crazy that way.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, I'm gradually coming accustomed to it. I mean, these little imperfections or errors or mistakes, you know, some of the best records, they keep them in there and they become like nuances, and, you know, it flavors the track, doesn't it? You know, it's too easy with modern music nowadays and all the computers and to make things absolutely perfect. And to me, that is wrong, you know, because it sounds robotic. It's not made by humans.
Right.
As a singer, I'm obviously focusing on every word I sing, you know. I mean, and I'm just vain, I suppose. I want it to be perfect.
Now, how do you record your songs? Do you have recording equipment? Do you use, you know, those apps that they have these days on phones?
Yeah, I use all sorts. I mean, I track my ideas on using an iPad. There's an app called Aria, which is a digital workstation for the iPad, and I use a number of different interfaces. I mean, I'm lucky. I've got a studio in the house, so I've got, you know, a couple of decent microphones, and I basically record all my ideas through the iPad, get them how I sort of want them, get the ideas down, and then I'll go into a professional studio and record it professionally.
Okay, so you use it kind of just to get the idea down and then go from there. Because I know a lot of people will record things all with all of the apps, and it amazes me when I hear it, because you would never know that that's what they used.
Oh, I mean, like I was saying earlier, you know, technology today is absolutely brilliant. You can do anything from home basically now if you've got a proper setup at home, and save yourself thousands of pounds potentially. But what I like to work with people, and it's always best to get, because I'm a solo artist, it's always best to get someone else's input and someone else's vision into it as well, you know, because you can sort of keep plugging away at one song and end up in a dead end somewhere and you can't see it. You know, you need an extra pair of eyes, extra pair of ears sometimes.
Right, exactly. Now, you just put a band together, because
you're
a solo artist, but you now have a band, so that's a good thing, because now you can start gigging. What did you put everybody through, like, say, when you were looking for a guitarist, what do you put them through as far as an audition to finally choose the one that you want? What do you look for?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, I'm an acoustic guitarist. I play acoustic guitar, so they need to be, if not as good as me, better than me. That's the first factor. I've had some experience, you know, live gigging, and I've got to get on with these guys because, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time together. And I've been quite lucky. I've gone back to my hometown and put adverts out, and I've managed to pick up one guy, Kevin Frank, his name is. He's an awesome guitarist and songwriter, by the way. And luckily, obviously, he's been playing in bands in the local area for years and years and years, and he's obviously got the bassist and the drummer and another guitarist, actually, electric guitarist, together, and it seems like it's sort of meant to be. We're all into similar things. We're all a similar age, so I've dropped on, really.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. I mean, because I'm, you know, thinking to myself, a lot of times when you are auditioning people to be in your band, you know, you look for somebody, of course, that's very talented with every instrument they're playing, but you also have to have that personal connection because, as you said, you guys are going to be together a lot. And if it's somebody that you don't like as a person, but you like how they, say, play drums, it's still not going to work out. You have to have all of that together.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, you're going to get a couple of shows in and you're going to realize that this guy's got smelly feet or what have you, and you're going to find any excuse to get rid of him.
Smelly feet.
So, I mean, I didn't line everyone up and sniff their toes, by the way. That wasn't the criteria. But...
I hope not. Oh, my gosh. So now that you have the band together, you're going to be doing gigs, and I'm sure you're going to be recording your album or an EP, Crawl, Walk, Run. When is that going to start?
Well, immediate, really. I mean, we've been practicing a lot, two or three, four times a week for the last month now. So we're nailing things down. Mel's going to go mental because I keep telling her, you know, March, then pushing the date back a little, you know, a week or two. And it's going to happen anytime soon, basically. I mean, the piece has been put in place. Mel's got some, you know, my manager, she's got me some dates booked, confirmed for May. So basically it has to be ready by then, doesn't it? So.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, but we can't go into the studio until it's perfect, so we're nearly there.
That's good. That's good. I'm looking forward to it. The radio, one more thing I want to bring up about that is you recently became part of a wedding package giveaway contest thing on Rock FM in the UK, and you're going to be singing one of the songs that you actually wrote, the wedding song, for the winning couple and at their wedding. So that's really exciting. Tell me how that came about and what you're going to do and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm super nervous about it. I mean, can you imagine singing on someone's special day, you know? I should imagine brides are pretty temperamental on their wedding day, so I've got to be absolutely perfect, haven't I?
They are not temperamental, no.
In the nicest possible way. Well, I've got to perform the song on their wedding day. Obviously, I wrote the song for part of the package, and the brides heard it. I mean, obviously the radio station have heard it, and they love the song, and it's to be performed at the wedding on the day, along with a couple of other songs. I'll do a mini set. But I'm just super excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest. I mean, I hope they enjoy the little mini show.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Now, will they know the song? You know, have they heard the song before the wedding?
As far as I'm aware, yes, they've been given a link, and I think the bride loves it from what I gather.
Okay. All right, so that's good. It would be a surprise, and I'm sure a very happy surprise, because I heard the song on your Facebook page, and I absolutely love it. They'll be thrilled to death with it. You'll do a wonderful job.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I wouldn't say a rush job. I mean, I got the nod from Mel to go ahead with the song, and had a week to write it. So I got it written down, and like I told you earlier, I tend to record my ideas through the iPad and the little interfaces that I've got. And I did the song that you've heard. I used the iPad and those interfaces. And so it's just a demo, and you know, I sent it away to the radio station, and it does sound pretty cool, to be honest. But as part of the package as well, what we said we'd do is fully produce the song, and obviously give it to the bride on the wedding day as well after the show. So that'll be a nice little touch.
Yeah, that'll be a nice keepsake for them then.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know what I forgot to ask you about the EP, going back a minute. How did you choose the name of the EP? What does it mean to you?
Well, I touched on it a little earlier. It's like my advance in years, obviously. it's like music and my passion. It's, you know, that's life, basically. Crawl, walk, run. I mean, that's how I've got to where I am at the minute. And I thought it was kind of metaphorical and quite a cool name for an EP. Did I explain that?
Oh, okay. it makes sense. It makes sense. I can understand that. Now, how do you choose the songs that'll make it on there? I mean, I'm sure you have 1,000 different songs that you've written. How do you choose the songs that are going to be on there?
Well, the idea for the EP is that, like I've just explained, the crawl, walk, run sort of philosophy. So the songs have got to be in an order and about my life. And I've got a mixed master of songs that I'll put together, and I'll just choose the best story out of the 4 or 5, 6 songs that are going to make the EP.
I like when, how do I put this? I like when I hear an EP or an album that tells a story from beginning to end, because it gets you to know that musician that you're listening to better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's definitely the idea. It's, you know, it'll be my debut, so it's a good idea to let people know what you're about straight out of the bat, and then there'll be no surprises.
Right.
So, you know, for everyone that later down the line.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of scary, too, for you guys, too, I'm sure. You know,
you're putting
it all out there.
Yeah, you've got to be totally brutally honest, because people will see straight through you if you're telling lies. I mean, I'm sure people can pick out my fictional songs from my real songs. You'll probably be able to tell that. But you've got to tell the truth, and you've got to be honest, you know, even brutally honest sometimes, you know, not be afraid to make enemies or tell the world about someone that's hurt you and why, you know, it's part of, that's what people like, that's what people get attached to, and, you know, if they can see it in their own life,
right,
make reference to it, then that's when the songs become successful. So I'm selling out.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, we all have songs that we, you know, remind us of, like, when we first fell in love, when our first heartbreak, you know, a bad day, you know, things like that. Or if you're in a good mood, you're going to play happy, you know, or something. So, yeah, we have a lot of that we relate to, and that makes good music.
That's the beauty of it, music. It takes you back instantly to the smell, the person, the situation, you know, as if you were there right now. You know, they lock in little memories, and that's the beauty about music.
Exactly, yeah. I totally agree with that. Now, you have a major gig coming up on May 13th at the Cavern in Liverpool with the International Pop Overthrow, and that's going to be May 13th at 6:15 on the front stage, and then you go at 7:30 to the backstage. So how long is the set, each set? And you get a break in between, right?
Yeah, I think it's 30 minutes. If it's not 30 minutes, it's 45 minutes. But, yeah, hopefully I'll get a break in between.
Yeah.
I think my manager, she's putting me out to work. She's relentless.
Yeah, yeah, she's like that. But that's why we love her, and that's why she does so well at her job, and people keep coming to her, because she's a great manager. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, of course.
I've known her for 8 years, and I know how hard she works, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting messages off her at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, Mel, go to bed. You know what I mean? But she's got the bug for it. So I mean, I need someone like that. I need someone. Us musicians tend to be, I wouldn't say lazy, but a horizontal bunch. We're quite relaxed. So you need someone
right
to take the reins and point you in the right direction sometimes, because otherwise, you know, nothing would ever get done.
Oh, well, guess what? Mel just wrote to me, 30-minute set with 15-minute changeover. So you do get 15 minutes in between. There you go.
Oh, great. Yeah, time for a shower and everything, yeah.
At least a cup of tea or something, or a beer,
yeah.
You know, just something to...
That 15 minutes, it takes me 15 minutes to tune up between songs, so I'll be straight on one stage onto the next.
Right, right, exactly. Now, will you be bringing the band with you, or is this a solo appearance?
For the first show, I think I'll do it acoustic, and then the second one, I think we'll bring the band along. You know, it's something we're still talking about. But obviously, like you say, it's one stage, yeah, it's in the same club, you know, front stage and backstage, so I'd like to mix things up a little, so we'll see what we can come up with.
Oh, that'll be good. That'll be good. What are you most looking forward to when you play there?
I mean, obviously everybody's heard of the Cavern Club in Liverpool. It's just, I've never been, so I just like to go and take it in at first. But, you know, I've been to Liverpool a lot of times. I love the people there, so I'm really, really looking forward to the show.
Sorry, you kind of cut out there for a second. You said you're looking forward to the show?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'll say the whole thing again. I mean, obviously, everybody knows the Cavern Club in Liverpool. It's famous, obviously, because of the Beatles.
Right.
I just want to go there and take it all in. And, you know, I've never been to the place, you know. But I've been to Liverpool a few times, and I love the people there. So I'm really looking forward to the show.
Yeah, one of these days I'd like to get there. You know, I want to go to England. That's like one of my dream trips because, I don't know, I just have a lot of bands that I follow that are in England. Of course, Mel is there. I've met her in Florida. She's come here, but
cool.
I haven't been to England yet. So one of these days, before I croak, I'm going to get there.
Before I croak. It's only a short hop, but just make sure you wrap up, otherwise you will croak it over here. It's freezing.
Yeah. I just have to, you know, although the British accent is my favorite, there's so many variations that sometimes I find it really hard to understand when you guys talk. And I don't know if you have that same issue when you listen to us in the U.S. talk.
No, not at all. Funny enough, I do understand, you know, apart from maybe people from Texas or whatever, you know, that are really sort of got strong accents. But, you know, I always understand everyone in America. But I can understand what you're saying about people over here. There's some weird regional accents that we can't even understand, you know.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. And I'm putting on, I don't know if you can understand me, but I'm literally putting on my best English, you know, I've never spoken this way before.
Really? Yes, I can understand you. And it's funny, when I interviewed another artist that Mel manages, Bud Rogers, she told him to make sure he speaks slowly because she said even for her, he speaks real fast. But did a good job. I understood everything he said. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to slow down for me.
Yeah, I've got a sweat. I'm really, really trying.
You're doing well. Well, also, as far as gigs are concerned, you know, you're going to be doing those around the UK. But when are you going to make it to the US?
Oh, well, it'd be nice to. I mean, obviously, once I've done a few gigs over here and see how fast the word spreads, I mean, I've got family that actually live in LA, so it wouldn't be that difficult for me to get some gigs in LA, actually. They live in, it's my girlfriend's auntie, actually. She lives in Newport Beach. And they'd love me to go and play over there. You know, I've got some, obviously, family and friends over there that would love to hear me play, so maybe that would be a good starting point. But no, it'd be great to come over to the US. Obviously, that's where it's at, you know.
Well, it would definitely be easier for me to get to LA. I mean, that's a 3.5-4 hour trip versus going to the UK, which is, I think Mel said something like 9 hours or whatever for her to get to Florida, and I'm 2 hours away from Florida. So, and I'm not a good flyer, mind you. I'm terrified to fly. I do it because it's the fastest way to get somewhere. But the whole time I'm holding on to the arms and, you know, praying, please God, let me get there. Please God, let me get there.
Well, it's funny, actually. I mean, I know some, well, I don't really think I should tell you this story, but I know some aircraft engineers, and if you knew them personally, you'd never fly again.
Oh, yeah, I know. I don't like to listen to any of those stories. I don't want to know it, because it always happens when I'm going to take a plane trip somewhere, or maybe it's going to be on the way back home. You know, you hear about a plane crash. I'm like, oh, God, why?
Well, it's the safest time to fly, isn't it? You know, straight after a plane crash, apparently. But, I mean,
you would think that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually in Spain right now with my girlfriend and my family, so I fly on Friday, so I don't really want to talk about this too much.
Well, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Cool. Fingers crossed.
Now, when you do make it here, I expect you to bring Melanie with you.
Oh, of course. I mean, she's taking me. She doesn't know yet, but she's paying.
No. You do know she's listening to every word.
Oh, yeah, I'll have a message. I'll have a few choice words after this, I should imagine.
Well, I'm curious to know why the word loony is attached to your social media names and website. What is that about? Where does that come from?
It's embarrassing, really. I mean, I'm not even sure if it's spelled right. Some people spell it with an E and some people don't. I mean, to be perfectly honest, it was my whole name is Matthew James McLaughlin, and I was obviously never going to call myself that for obvious reasons. So I shortened it to Matthew James, Matt James, but there's obviously a million and one names out there. It's quite a common name. So for Twitter handles and Facebook pages, you just got to make something catchy. And everybody asks me, what's Matt James Looney mean? So it's working. It's doing
well,
the trick.
Well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. You're obviously standing out already, because it's curious. You know, people are curious. They want to know what it's about, why you have that word there. Are you some insane person just, you know, trolling social media? Or do you have something to offer, you know? And you
no,
do.
No,
you have something
really,
to offer.
It's because I'm really immature. I love Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I haven't watched those since I was a kid, but, you know, that's a guy thing.
No
matter
so.
How old they are, they watch it. So one last question for you. I heard this one the other day. I don't even remember what I was listening to, and I really liked it. So what is your shower song?
Whoa. Shower song. Well, that's a difficult one. I don't know. I mean, well, Guilty Pleasure. Well, it's not a Guilty Pleasure because, you know, I love the guy and I'm not embarrassed to say it. Any Craig David song. I can moonlight like Craig David.
Okay. I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that.
I should have picked something a little more cooler, you know. I'm envisaging myself singing to Craig David in the shower.
Nah.
You've just destroyed it. You've just destroyed this whole interview.
You're okay. My shower song is just like the last song I heard, you know, how that sticks with you throughout the day when you're not listening to the radio,
right.
You just turn it off and that last song is right there in your head and you just sing it over and over. And it could be a song from a commercial. I mean, it's just anything that's whatever sticks in your head. So you talk about embarrassing.
I mean,
what if you're singing about, you know, a car or something from a commercial? It's kind of goofy.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's funny how little things get stuck in your head. But you're talking from a listener's point of view again. I'm talking from a musician. I always sing better in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to sing good, I've got to get in the shower. I'll usually sing my own stuff in the shower and see how it sounds first.
There you go. The true test.
Yeah, of course.
Well, let me just let our listeners know, as he said on social media, you can find him at Matt James Looney, Looney, no E in there. And then also on Facebook, and the website is the same thing, but it's mattjamesloonymusic.com. And you can pick up his music on iTunes. He just released a new single called I've Stopped Breathing, which I will be playing that one, as well as a couple others, just as soon as I say goodbye to Matt.
Well, it's been a pleasure, pal. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, and I'm so glad that it turned out well this time and we stayed connected, and definitely keep in touch through you on Facebook and also with Melanie, and I'd love to have you back sometime in the near future, maybe when you release your EP.
Yeah, no, of course. Thanks. I'd love to be invited on again. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Very fun.
Thank you. And all the best to you and your family and your new baby coming soon.
Thank you. Yeah, no, yeah. It's going to get crazy around here.
Definitely. New babies always do that.
Yeah.
But they're fun. You love them. You look forward to them. And that's it. Love them and treat them well and teach them how to be good, upstanding citizens. And you've done your job.
Yep, that's right. That's the aim, anyway.
Well, you take care of yourself, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks again, Matt, for calling in and joining me.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, listeners, now I'm going to go ahead and play three songs by Matt James, and the first one is called Mediocre Me.
Ghost to ghost, sick and tired of being the gray man. Save a little life for me. Don't own a face, don't own a voice. I'm screaming loudly, but nothing comes out. Sick and tired of being a pain, but say a little prayer for me. I've tried so hard, you won't believe it, and I can't take any more. And I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I've tried not to be mean. I've cried so hard, you won't believe it, and I gotta get off the floor. I'm going to make a change for mediocre me. I walk the streets of the living dead. One he said, please don't follow me. Who are you? I said, average you. He said, I'm your reflection, tell me, do you see? You're a dreamer, a dreamer, a dreamer. All you have are broken dreams. I tried so hard, you won't believe it, and I can't take any more. And I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I've tried not to be me. I've cried so hard, you won't believe it, and I gotta get off the floor. I'm going to make a change for mediocre me. We're born and then we die. The bit in between, they call it life tonight. I tend to disagree. I can't take any more. And I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I've tried not to be me. I've cried so hard, you won't believe it, and I gotta get off the floor. I'm going to make a change for mediocre me. I've tried so hard, you won't believe it, and I can't take any more. And I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I've tried not to be me. I've cried so hard, you won't believe it, and I gotta get off the floor. I'm going to make a change for mediocre me. I'm going to make a change for mediocre me.
Okay, next up is Sweet Satellite.
Lonely and I
with living in despair. It's hard, but we're a pair, and I'm alone tonight, and I miss you. I've stopped breathing.
Seeing him one day play live, whether it's here or I make it to England finally. One day I plan on doing that. Thanks to my guest, Matt James, for joining me today. I know it was a rescheduled one, but you know what? It all went good today, and I'm happy about that. Thanks to Melanie at Aspire Music Management, who is Matt's manager, and be sure to check out her website at aspiremusicmanagement.co.uk. You'll see things on there for Matt as well as her other artists that she manages. And believe me, you'll be happy that you went there. You'll find somebody that you'll love and adore if you haven't heard them yet, and you'll become a new fan. So with that, I'm going to say thanks for the listeners for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I will be back again on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time with another hour of indie music from around the world. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day, and God bless.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.